are completely done with Christmas shopping? I'm just curious. How many people are completely done? No? Wow. The 9 a.m. had a lot of people done. That's okay. That's okay. How many people here are getting better? You've got some done, but you just got a little bit more to do. All right, that's cool. And I love this part. How many Walgreens CVS people do I have? How many Christmas Eve people do I have in the house? Just lay it out there. That's what I'm talking about. God bless each and every one of you. But we are in a neat time of year, right? We're in a season, and that leads me into what this message is going to be. I'm going to speak about peace for a few minutes. Everybody say peace. Look at your neighbor and say peace with a smile on your face. Peace. Because at this time of year, it's Christmas, right? We're going to talk a lot about peace. We're going to sing songs about peace. We've got cards that we're going to send our friends and our loved ones that talk about peace. We're going to receive some. We're going to get together with relatives and people that you never, ever see but once a year, and it's going to be joyful and ho, ho, ho. It's peace, right? But what's interesting is even though it's a season of peace, we sing these songs, but we don't always experience what we're singing. We get these cards that we send to people and we receive, but we're not really feeling the words that are on the cards. And we get together with the family. The family, right? For a lot of people, that can be a lot more hectic than just the peaceful time of year. Because for most people, when they get together, if you're really having a conversation, the discussion's about how hectic things are. How crazy things are, how busy things are, and who's got health problems, and what's going on financially, and the marriage isn't good, and my kids are acting crazy, and there's traffic on 270 that I've never seen before. We just go on and on. So for a lot of people, this time of year, this season of peace and joy, it's not that peaceful. But what's interesting is the Bible says that we should have peace in our life. If you read the Word of God, it says that we should, that every Christian should possess, should have peace in their life. Because it's got to be more than just a song that we sing. It's got to be more than just words on a card. It's got to be more, and the Bible says that we should have it. So let me ask you, church, where's the disconnect? Where's the disconnect? So here's what we're going to look at for the next few minutes, and I believe that this could be a life-changing message for you. I'm really glad that you're here. If you're here, you were meant to be here, because I think as we head into a season and we head into a brand new year and we close out 1 year and everything going on in the world that we have today, come on, somebody, we need peace in the world, amen? We need to find what the secret is if God says that we should have it. So we're going to look for the next few minutes at how do we find God's peace? How do we find God's peace? And let's start with Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. Luke chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 13. And if you're here today ready to hear from the Lord, can I have a good amen? The Bible says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Many people think that verse says, peace on earth and goodwill to men. That's what Charlie Brown said. That's not what the Bible has to say. It says on earth, peace. Not peace on earth. Because there's really no such thing. Look up here. There's no such thing as peace on earth. Aren't you glad you came to church today? There's no such thing as peace on earth. In fact, there's only one verse in the whole Bible where the words peace on earth is even spoken. It's by Jesus, and he says, "I didn't come to bring peace on earth." And I think that's hilarious because the goal of Jesus on earth wasn't to make earth more peaceful. It was when earth is not peaceful, you can still have it. That's the whole goal. You see, peace is a gift that Jesus worked pretty hard for. Peace is a gift that Jesus bled and died for. And here's the good news. He makes it available to everybody. That's a good place to say amen. He makes it available to everybody. So my goal today is that each one of you, you walk out of here having the understanding of what peace actually is, and you can say, man, I've got peace in my life. I've got peace, and it's the best gift that I've ever received. The gift of peace. That's what Jesus tells us, that he gave us this gift. Look with me in John 14, 27. Jesus is speaking. He said, "I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. See, the world, church, has got this fake, imitation, fraudulent peace. It promises you peace. But Jesus says, look, I don't have peace like the world talks about peace. I've got something a little bit different. I've got something very special for you. And so my prayer today is that if you're sitting here, that you actually experience this peace, that you actually experience the power of peace in your life. I want to look at a verse quickly that you've probably heard before at Christmas time, and if you've heard it, then that's great. If you haven't, it's not a problem. We're going to look at it anyway. But it was a prophecy that was spoken back in the book of Isaiah, and it was spoken 700 years before Jesus was born. How cool is that? How cool is that? Because I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the Old Testament, there's 300 prophecies, and every single one of these prophecies came to pass, down to the very last detail. The death, the life, Jesus, everything, down to the last detail. It's just simply, simply amazing. But in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, here's the verse. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Somebody say, we need that. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Everybody say, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And what I want to show you is just what that word actually means. In the Hebrew, it's two words, Sar Shalom. Everybody say, Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. And it's where we get the word. Sar is where we get the word Prince. And it literally means the one in charge. It literally means Lord. It means chief. And back in the day when you had Tsar, the Romans took that word, and then you got the word C-Z-A-R out of it, and then it later became this word Caesar. That's where it came from. The word shalom, you might have heard before. It's a Jewish greeting. Everybody say shalom. Look at your neighbor and say shalom, baby. Just let it flow. Shalom. And literally what that means is rest. It means wholeness, completeness, tranquility. So if I had to put the two together, it means the Lord of rest, the Lord of tranquility, the one that's in charge of wholeness, the one who's in charge of being complete. He is the Lord of peace. And here's what I need you to get in your spirits and your hearts today. This is something good to write down. It's going to be the foundation of everything that we're going to talk moving forward. You ready for this? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Come on, you ready? Jesus is peace. Jesus is peace. That's it. Y'all are looking at me like there's more. No, Jesus is peace. Peace is Jesus. It's not something that he has just to give to you. Listen, he is it. Jesus is peace. So if I'm going to preach today about peace, guess what? I just need to give y'all a message about Jesus. Because Jesus is peace. Everybody say Jesus is peace. Because if you know Jesus, then you're automatically going to have peace. And that makes a lot of the Bible verses that we read make sense. When Jesus is peace and peace is Jesus. In fact, let me show you a couple. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Look at Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him. It's not just something that he has for you. Jesus is peace. He is it. It's not just something that is a possession. Listen, Jesus is peace, and peace is Jesus. Peace cannot be found anywhere else. Let me just put everything aside that the world's telling you. You cannot find peace anywhere else. And we've tried, haven't we, church? Oh, man, we've tried to find peace, right? We try to find peace in people. We try to find peace in things. We try to find peace in money. I don't know if you've ever got to the point in your life where you said, if I just had this, I would be happy. I would have peace. We've tried it, but you can't find it anywhere. Let me say it this way. It is impossible for you to have peace in your life without connecting powerfully in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's impossible to have peace in your life without connecting with the power and the presence of a relationship with Him, with Jesus. So my goal today is that you know Jesus personally. Because if you know Jesus personally, then you will have peace. So what you end up doing is not just pursuing peace, but you end up pursuing Jesus. See, peace is not the absence of something. Peace is the presence of someone. It's not the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. So what do we do with that? How do we take that information? I gave you a little foundation. How do we build on that? I want to give you three truths today that you can have in your life to activate peace, to activate Jesus, to come into relationship with Him. And if you do these things, this is why this message is going to be so powerful today. You could have the best holiday you've ever had, even with the crazy relatives. I'm telling you, this is good stuff right here. Here's number one. You ready? Are you ready? Get under the lordship of Jesus. Get under the lordship of Jesus. I'm talking about having a lordship relationship. And this is going to be very challenging for some people that might have walked in here today, for a lot of Christians, because I think as the Christian body as a whole, we don't understand the concept of lordship. I think people think lordship is just simply calling Him Lord. We've all done that. There are a lot of people that call Him Lord, but they don't necessarily have Him as Lord. I think about this. I think about little sheds on a golf course. I don't know if you've ever been golfing before, or you drove by a golf course, but on a golf course, they have these little sheds that you can stop, get out of your cart, or if you're walking, you can run and get under if there's inclement weather. So if it starts raining or it starts lightning or just anything going on, you can actually run and get underneath the roof. You can get under the roof. You can get under the covering. Because when you're under the covering, when you're under the roof, then everything going on outside around you isn't going to affect you. Are you tracking with me? It's about getting under the roof. And see, so many people were not underneath Jesus's roof. Everybody say, get under the roof. Now you might be saying, okay, that's cool. I said, get under the roof. How am I going to get under the roof? Here's the deal. He's got to be Lord of all. Plain and simple. I ain't got nothing else for you. Jesus is not a golden corral. It's the whole enchilada, baby. It's all or none. He's got to be Lord of all. See, we want Jesus as Savior. We want Him to save us. We want the package. We want what's at the end of the rainbow. We want all of that, but we don't want anybody telling us what to do. We want to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. Many Christians call Him Lord, but they live under their own control. They live under their own direction. You know, I'll have this mashed potatoes, and I'll have this, but I don't want the meat. I don't want that. I'm just telling you, Jesus is not a golden corral. You've got to have the whole meal. If you want Jesus, He's got to be Lord of all. Or I would make the argument that He's not Lord at all. He's got to be Lord at all. And here's the deal. God is not going to bless it when it's not under the roof. He's just not. I know some of y'all don't want to hear that, but He's not going to bless it when it's not under the roof. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Verse 36, the Bible says, you know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Most of us want to take that comma out after Jesus Christ and put a period there. We want the good news. We want the peace through Jesus, right? We want the blessing. We want the Savior. We want the package. But it goes a little further. Who is Lord of all? So can I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and still get the blessing and still find peace? The answer is no. No. It's all got to be under the roof. We want the good stuff. We want the marriage, but we don't want a date. I think of my kids, who I love very, very much. And when my kids and I, you know, at the Welshimer household, their dad's got a covering. We've got a covering. I mean, they're to be respectful to each other. They're to get along. My son and my daughter are to get along. I mean, the family, they're supposed to do that. There's different chores that are expected of them. I mean, and when that's happening, guess what? I want to bless my kids. Amen, parents? Come on, somebody. When your kids are getting along, who wants to bless their kids? Can I take you to Starbucks and get you a Frappuccino? Thank you, Jesus. But here's the deal. When they're mean to each other, when they're disrespectful, when they're not getting along, do I feel like blessing my children? Because they went out from under the roof. They went out from under the roof. And we've all done that, right? It's not about kids. It's not about family. God's kids, when we're under our Father's roof, it's a good day. He wants to bless us. But we go out under the roof and we get all wet and we wonder why and we get upset. God's not going to bless it when it's outside the covering. And there's nothing outside of the Lordship of Christ that's ever going to bring satisfaction to your life. Nothing. Nothing. There was a great exchange in the Bible with this rich young ruler and Jesus. And Jesus was basically having a conversation with people, and he's talking about bringing stuff under the roof, and it's a good day, and, you know, blessings, and here's what the kingdom of God's like, and here's how things can be cool. And then the rich young ruler speaks up in Matthew 19:20. He says, man, I've done all this stuff. What am I still lacking? Jesus, what else do I have to do? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Check this out. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. See, it wasn't a problem that this guy had wealth. I want to be really clear. Jesus isn't saying that if you're going to follow him, you've got to be a poor pauper and just live on the street. That's not what Jesus is saying here. It's okay to follow Jesus and be wealthy and be blessed and still keep things in order. And it wasn't that Jesus had a problem with the wealth or the man having wealth, but the problem was the wealth had the man. The wealth had the man. In other words, the wealth of this man, the possessions of this man, it wasn't underneath the covering. Are you with me? It wasn't under the covering. But see, here's the good news about bringing stuff under the covering. About bringing stuff under the roof. Everybody say, get under the roof. When you get things under the roof, listen, here's the good news. It's like God is looking down on that shed that you're under, and in all your mistakes, in all your past history, everything that's going on, he doesn't even see you because all he sees is Jesus covering you. That's a good place to say amen. I want to read you this next verse, but I want you to process it and read it as a promise today. It's in Isaiah 32:17. I want you to read this as a promise that the fruit of those that want to come up underneath the house, the covering, that there's going to be peace. Isaiah 32:17, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. And what that means is that if you submit your marriage, if you submit your relationships, if you submit your finances, if you submit your circumstances, if you submit your morals, if you submit your actions, if you submit your will, if you submit your way to the Lordship of Jesus, the effect will be quietness and confidence forever. And here's the promise. If you do that in verse 18, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Who wants some of that in their life? Let me say that again. I saw one hand. Who wants peaceful dwelling places? Come on. Who wants secure homes? Who wants undisturbed places of rest? Come on, church. We want that. We want that. But we have to get under the Lordship of Jesus. I just wonder if there's some areas that come to mind right now that you know are out getting wet. So to get in right relationship, to have the peace that everybody is desiring in their life. Number one, you've got to get under the Lordship of Jesus. You got to get it up under the roof. Here's number two, second thing. Bring Jesus into every situation. Bring Jesus into every situation. Let me say it this way. If you don't have peace in your finances, bring Jesus into your finances. If you don't have peace in your marriage, bring Jesus into your marriage. If you don't have Jesus, if you don't have a good relationship with your parents or with a relative, then what do you need to do? Bring Jesus. If you want peace in your home, if you want peace in your job, if you want peace in your life, you've got to bring Jesus. You've got to bring him. See, here's what I think is a problem for so many people, and I used to live in this world. I used to compartmentalize my life. I used to be a double agent. I was a great Sunday Dax. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I got my hands raised high. I'm praising the Lord. It's a great day. But then guess what? Then Monday, Dax comes out. I lived one way in the church. I lived another way on Monday with my friends, on Monday with my job, on Monday when I go to school. But what we need in this life is 24/7 Jesus. We need to bring Jesus to the schools. We need to bring Jesus to the coffee shop. We need to bring Jesus to dinner time with the family. We need to bring Jesus in the car. Lord knows we need Jesus on 270. Just the other day, somebody cut me off, and man, I'll tell you what. If Jesus just once in a while gave me 30 seconds, and I know I can't say that from a stage. If I knew I had 30 seconds before he came back, it could be different. But thank God I brought Jesus in that situation. It's hard to get mad at people. It's hard to get mad at your kids. It's hard to get mad at your boss. It's hard to get mad at your spouse. It's hard to get mad at about anything when Jesus is with you. You got to bring Jesus, man, into that situation. And here's the deal. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Because I think that we think that there's two lives, that we've got our spiritual Sunday life, and then we've got our normal Monday through Saturday life. But listen to me, church. When you can take your spiritual life and you can take your Monday to Saturday life and it becomes life, that's where you find peace. That's where you find it. When your Sunday is like your Thursday, and your Sunday is just like your job, and your Sunday is with the crazy people that we're all going to see in just a few weeks, you got to bring Jesus, man. You got to bring Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. The Bible says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times." Everybody say all times. And in every way, everybody say every way. The Lord be with all of you. So how does that happen? He has to be with you. He's got to be with you. He's got to be in your marriage. He's got to be in your ministry. He's got to be in this church. He's got to be in our schools. He's got to be in our government. Come on, somebody. He's got to be in our businesses. He's got to be in our neighbors' houses. He's got to be with us. We got to take him home and let him infiltrate every part of our life. So number one, if you're searching for peace, you got to bring it all under the roof. Everything. It's got to come under the roof. Second thing is, if you've got some dysfunction in your life, you need to bring Jesus into that situation. And then number three, my last point today, keep your mind on Jesus. Think about him right now. This may be the longest all week you've had quiet. Think about him right now. Maybe you want to close your eyes. I'll give you 30 seconds to think about him. What's he want you to bring under the roof? For some of you, maybe you just are asking him if he really is who he says he is. Did he really do what he said he did? Did he really spread his hands for me? Keep your mind on Jesus. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's just say those words. Listen to them. Everybody say true. Everybody say noble. Everybody say right. Everybody say pure. Everybody say lovely. Everybody say admirable. Everybody say excellent. Everybody say praiseworthy. Think about those things. And look at what happens in verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. I love this. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So if you've ever wondered what's the disconnect with me not having peace, just run through your list. Do I got everything under the roof? Do I got everything under the roof? Is there some places that I need to bring Jesus into my life? Are there some places I go I need to bring Jesus? Are there some places because of Jesus that I don't need to go? And then keep your mind on Jesus. That's why being in a church like this is so important. Coming here on Sunday is so important. You've got to come together as the body. You've got to get out your Bibles and read. That's your map for life. That will answer any question that you have. And if you need a Bible, I can promise you this man will get you one. You got to get into a small group. You got to get connected to people that are going to grow you and not slow you. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God's created you to do immeasurably more than you could ever imagine. The devil is terrified of you. He's got nothing on you. He only has as much ground as you're willing to give him. You've got Jesus. You've got it all. Keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus. Here's a verse I want to finish with. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To have peace in your life, to have a holiday season that you've never had, to move into 2018, to have your best year that you've ever had. It will always be your best season. It will always be your best year if it's your best year spiritually. Bring it under the roof. Bring it under the roof. Bring Jesus into any and every situation in your life. And friend, keep your mind on Jesus. Because if you have Jesus, then you have peace. Because Jesus, he is peace. Will you bow your heads with me, please?